Good morning. Today is a great day, not just because it's the first day of the year, first Sunday of the year, that is, but we're also going to introduce a new initiative today that I'll tell you more about later in this lesson. Many of you were here back in July of 2022 when we started our evangelism campaign with AMC, and we learned a lot of things that week and had a lot of concepts to process. And since then, we have come into contact through various means with over 700 non-Christians that we have attempted to reach out to and made some efforts. And not all of these are still active today, but there's still a lot for any one or handful of people to do on their own just because of the scale of the number of contacts that we have. And so there's still a lot of work for us to do as a congregation to reach out to these people. And if that's something you'd like to help with, please let me know and I can show you how you can get involved. But one of the biggest questions that we had coming out of the campaign is, how do we as an individual reach people? How do I in my personal life reach out to people for the gospel? How do I share the gospel with them? When we're not door knocking, when we're not maybe taking someone some food or delivering a basket, when we're not doing evangelism or benevolence or a service project, how do we as individuals share the gospel with people and reach people in our life? So we'll talk more about a new tool that we're going to introduce later in the lesson. But first, I'd like for you to join me in turning to Matthew chapter 4. And we're going to look at where Jesus started when he began to call disciples to follow him. In Matthew chapter 4, in verses 18 through 20, Jesus was coming off of his baptism. He had completed his temptation in the wilderness, and he had returned to the region of Galilee to begin his ministry. And in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20, the text says this, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him." Now, Jesus did something that was incredible here, not just because the fact that he, you know, on a whim, it seems, called two people to follow after him and to spend time with him. But in those days, a rabbi did not choose his disciples. His disciples would choose the rabbi and follow them. But Jesus did something different. And this is, I think, a sign of the way that Jesus was going to turn a lot of things on its head and do it the way different from what people expected. Jesus chose his disciples to follow them. So the Gospel of Matthew does not give us a lot of context for this. But if you know the Gospel of John, you know that this is probably not the first time that Jesus had met Peter and Andrew. In John chapter 1, if you look there, you'll see the occasion of how Jesus, how Andrew began to follow Jesus. In John chapter 1 and verse 35, John the Baptist stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned to them and said, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is translated teacher, "where are you staying?" Jesus said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him, that is Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He went and first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now we're not given an exact timeline of how this works with the time when Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee and called them to follow. But I think there's a good reason to believe that this initial interaction where Andrew leaves following John the Baptist to go and follow Jesus and then invites his brother Simon Peter to join him probably happened before that. So when Jesus sees them alongside the shore of Galilee, this was not a random encounter. This was not just two guys he picked out of the crowd and said, "I want you to follow me." They knew who he was. They knew what he was about. The background work had already been done and there was already a little bit of a relationship there. But I think the thing that's interesting here as well is Andrew didn't just follow Jesus on his own. He went and found Peter, his brother, whom he obviously cared about, and shared with him, "We have found the one that we are looking for," and encouraged him to follow Jesus. The seed had already been planted when these men met Jesus on the Sea of Galilee. They were ready and primed to follow. Now, not all occasions of people following Christ work like this. Some people didn't follow Jesus immediately. Some people followed never having talked to him before. Some people followed him because a miracle occurred or some other piece of evidence happened. So how do we start? What can we learn from this account in the life of Jesus for our own efforts in evangelism? And what we're going to talk about here in a little bit is how do we choose two people to follow Jesus this year? And as I was thinking through this, it struck me that the way that Jesus led Peter throughout his life is a lot like the story or the layout that we're given in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, where Paul says this: I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. So the first thing I want you to think about when it comes to your own personal evangelism is this. We need to start small. We need to focus on planting seeds in the lives of people that we know. Jesus started with just two people. Of course, that grew very quickly to four and so on. And some of those people would go and tell people, such as Andrew with Peter and so forth. But Jesus started with just a few people. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to think that, okay, well, I need to go save as many people as possible right now. But if you look at the model of how people worked in the early church, it wasn't always a big crowd. There wasn't always 3,000 people standing around waiting to hear a sermon. Many times they were just working one-on-one with one person at a time, sometimes two, in small groups. But I think even more so, we look at the kind of people that Jesus called. These are ordinary people. They were not, scholars. They were not teachers. They were not all wealthy, although some of them were. They were just ordinary, everyday, hardworking guys. And Jesus saw something in them, and he called them to follow him. Andrew went on and planted a seed with Peter. And this seed grew into something that we would see develop over the course of Peter's life. Jesus's two then became four, and so on until he had 12 followers. And he sent out these 12 men to go and preach and teach and heal and cast out demons, and they did incredible things in the name of Christ. Later on, he had 72 that he sent out to do and prepare for his coming. And after his death, but before the arrival of the Spirit at Pentecost, there were as many as 120 gathered there, awaiting the next steps. Growth starts with something small. And we need to think in our own life, you don't have to put so much pressure on yourself to save everyone that you know that's lost right now, although that would be great, right? But sometimes it's hard to focus on 20, 30 people when we really just need to devote our efforts to maybe one or two at a time and really get to know them and really help them in their walk of faith. Jesus said this about the kingdom of God in Mark chapter 4 and verses 30 through 32. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, it is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out of large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. The kingdom of God started out as something small, but it grew into something great and incredible. And in the same way in our own lives, we just need to start small. We need to look at the people around us and see, how can I make a difference in their life for the sake of Christ? How can I teach them one by one to come to know the gospel of truth? But as we learn from the model in 1 Corinthians, we need to get involved and nurture and water that seed that we've planted. Now, as 1 Corinthians tells us, sometimes that's not always going to be our role in the process, because one person plants, another person waters, and then God gives the increase. So you may plant a seed that you may never see grow to fruition, and that's okay sometimes. But you may be the person that needs to water a seed that has been planted by someone else, or even to water the seed that you yourself have planted. Sometimes you might be the person that's there from the planting to the time when they become a Christian. That happens. But sometimes you may not be. There may be seeds that were planted 20 years ago that you don't know about. But you're the person that God has placed to water that seed to help them to grow and mature in the faith. Now, Jesus perfectly models all three of these aspects. You know, he starts with the planting. We see him water the seed. And you see this especially with the way that Jesus spent time with Peter. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 14, and this is reflected in the other Gospels as well, Jesus goes into the house of Simon Peter where his mother-in-law was ill. And he heals her, and she begins to immediately serve him. But not only that, but later, after the sun went down and it was evening, people began to bring their sick to Jesus. And so Jesus used their home, Peter's home, as a base of operations to conduct his healing ministry for people in that town. Jesus certainly spent time with Peter and his family. He knew them. He saw, you know, I don't think most of us want people at our house when we're sick. And yet Jesus was at their house when someone was sick and ill and struggling. He saw someone at their low point, and yet he ministered to them. Not everything in the lives of the people that we're going to try to reach or in our own lives is always pretty. It's messy. It's painful. It's difficult. It's sometimes hard to get involved with these situations because of the effort that may be required. But we need to remember that our Savior did just that. He didn't let the messiness of people's lives keep them away. The complications, the difficulties, the effort or the time that he might have to put in order to reach them. There's never going to be a perfect situation to share the gospel with somebody. There might be some really good opportunities, but it's never going to be just perfect. And if we're waiting for that right moment to pop up, it may never come. Sometimes we're just going to have to do it and to cultivate that relationship and to get to know people, to spend time with them in their homes and help teach them the gospel. We need to be willing to invest in the lives of others, to care for them, to share with them, to develop relationships, to eat with them, to spend time with them and know them. They need the good news of Jesus Christ no matter how messy their lives are. And really, the messier they are, the more I think they probably realize that they need something in life. But remember that Jesus didn't just go eat with people just to eat. Jesus shared meals with people because he wanted to teach them. He wanted to spend time with them. And we see time and time again where Jesus is eating with people and he's using it as an opportunity to share the truth with them. And I hope that we'll do the same as we're cultivating relationships in our lives. The third thing is this. Remember that God is the one who gives the increase. So we need to allow time for people to grow and mature. Evangelism doesn't always happen overnight. You know, there are some situations, like consider the Ethiopian eunuch, where all it took was one study of the Bible and a chariot alongside the side of the road, and he was ready to get in the water. And sometimes that's how evangelism works, and that's wonderful when it did. But think about this. This Ethiopian eunuch has been, you know, he pilgrimaged to Jerusalem. He knows the Word of God. He's been reading it and studying it. He was ready before Philip ever got up in that chariot. And there are people like that out there. They are ready. They are in the chariot. They've been reading and studying the word. They are waiting for an understanding and they need someone to go and explain it to them. But some people aren't there yet. They don't have a seed yet. They need a seed to be planted and they need someone to come along and to water it so that that seed can grow and also to allow time for that seed to come up. Think about the life of Peter. You know, Peter's life, his journey with Christ started with that seed. This is the one that we're waiting for from Andrew. And then if you watch Peter's journey with Christ, he doesn't have it all figured out as soon as he walks, steps out of his boat to follow Christ. There are stages in Peter's growth as a disciple of Christ. He has doubts. He pushes back against Jesus. He's confused at times. He even denies Jesus later on at a critical moment. But yet Peter would have to work through these weeds, these presuppositions that he carried with him, the desires that he wanted, the things that he wanted out of life. He had to work through those things to understand Christ more completely. And as we work with people, we're going to have to realize that they have some weeds in their life that they're going to have to work out in order to be a fruitful follower of Christ. Sometimes it may happen quickly, but sometimes it may not. And that's where prayerful patience comes into play. Not passive patience, not letting them try to figure out for years and years and years, although for some it may take years. But we need to give people the time and space to think, to grow, but also to be there with them and ready to support them throughout that process. Although God is the one who gives the increase, he has placed us in the lives of people, people that some of us don't even know you know, and you are uniquely positioned to reach them. And so we can do our part so that that growth can happen. We don't want to just sit back and do nothing. We want to be intentional about it. But we do sometimes need to give people time for that increase to happen. So what do we do? I have a few guys in the back that are going to assist passing these out. We've created a new tool, and this is something that we have been talking about at Carnes for the last year and a half in the leadership. It's a strategy that was suggested to us by the House to House program. We're going to do our own little spin on it. But what we want you to do this year is to be thinking about two people in your life that you can reach with the gospel. Two, you know, I think one is good, and certainly if all you get this year is one, I think that is a wonderful success. But I want you to think about two people in your life that you can start planting seeds with, that you can start watering, you can start praying for and working with them to bring to Christ and to a knowledge of the truth. You don't have to choose this moment. Maybe you know right off the top of your head who those people are going to be. And if you do, that's fantastic. That's great. Go ahead and write those names down. But also be taking the time this week to think, who are the people that I want to be my two this year? Who are the people that I'm going to start small with to try to reach with the gospel? It could be somebody that you're already talking to. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a close friend. Maybe it's a child, one of your children in your family that you know is close to making that decision. That can be one of your choose too. And if you're not sure who to pick, think about the people that you spend time talking to the most. Who are people that you have a good relationship with? Who are people that you can be open and honest and direct with? Who are people that are interested in religious things in your life? Who are people that you're already having religious conversations with? Who do you want to be in heaven with you? Who is someone that is struggling right now and you know needs the gospel of Christ? Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your mother or your father or your brother. That's okay too. Who was Andrew's first person? His brother Peter. And so it can be a family member as well. And so once you've thought about this, and again, if you want to take time this week to choose your two, that's fine too. But once you've done that, what do we do next? Where do we go from there in this process? Well, if you look on the back of your card, you'll see some suggestions, and there's more things that we could add to this list, but we were constrained by space. But these are some basic things that you can be doing to try to reach this person. The most important thing you need to do is pray for them, if you're not already. Pray for them every single day. You know, if you keep this bookmark in your Bible, or maybe you put it in your car on your dashboard, or maybe you put it on your mirror in your bathroom, whenever you see this name in this bookmark, I want you to pray for them. Pray for their soul. Pray for opportunities to reach them with the gospel. Pray for an open door so that you can walk through it and to show them the gospel of Christ. Look for opportunities to encourage them. Both, you know, as a general kind of encouragement, but spiritual encouragement. Where are areas in their life that they're struggling? You can let them know that you're praying for them when they're going through something. And plant seeds of the Word of God. You know, don't be passive about it. Don't take a step back, but look for opportunities to water and nurture that seed so it can grow. Find ways to serve them. Not everyone has obvious needs, but some people do, and serving them can be a wonderful way to build a connection and relationship with them. Not because we're trying to take advantage of them or manipulate them in some way, but so that we can show them we do care about you, and we care about you physically, but ultimately we care about you spiritually, and we want you to know the love of Christ through us. Jesus spent a lot of time eating with people. And sharing meals together. And we've talked about this in the past at the campaign, so I won't spend too much time on that. But take them out to eat. Spend time with them in your homes. Invite them over. Make time so that you can have opportunities to share the gospel with them. And then finally, look for a way to begin a study if you can. Not all studies are formal. Not all studies will involve you sitting down at a table with a particular curriculum or a book and going through it. Sometimes it will, sometimes it won't. Sometimes studies are just conversations that get very religious very quickly, and then you start opening the Bible and you start looking at things here and there. And sometimes they're very on the fly and flexible, and they may not follow a set path or order. But try to find ways to begin a study with someone if you can. We have found, at least of the studies that have been reported to us, there's a very high percentage of people that become Christians once they start opening the Bible. And if we can just get them to start looking at the scriptures, I think that will go a long way in helping them to know the truth. We may not get to water every seed that we plant. We may not get to see the produce of every seed that is sown. And that's okay too. I once wrote down the name of someone that I was trying to reach, and I thought, okay, I need to go talk to this person. I need to do this and that. And, you know, I hesitated, and I shouldn't have, but the good thing was is that they ended up talking to someone else and becoming a Christian, which is great. We don't always have to be part of that process, but we certainly should try to contribute as much as we can. You may think, okay, what about that? I've been talking to this person. I've been praying for them. I've been trying to talk to them. What else can I do to reach them? Well, one of the things that we've had in place for quite some time is the contact cards. And ultimately, remember, the names that you write down on your bookmark today or this week or whenever, those are your contacts. They belong to you, and we want you to make every effort to try to reach them. But you may think, you know, at some point I need some help. Maybe they're sick and they need some cards from the church. You can submit their name and we'll send them some cards. Maybe you know of some other need that they have, a benevolent need. Maybe we can look into that and evaluate the situation and see if it's a way that we can help. Maybe they need prayers. Maybe they're new to the community. You can let us know about some of these things, and we have ways that we can reach out to them. And that doesn't mean that you're absolved of the responsibility of reaching them, but it does mean that we can help. Maybe they're ready for a Bible study, but you don't know where to start. And so you can let us know about that and turn their name in, or you can just tell me. Either way is fine. But we have ways that we can help if you want to do that. And these cards are back on the evangelism table, and you can put them in the box when the time comes. If you don't want to turn in your contact, that's fine too. It's your contact. But if you would like extra help, we can do that. Now you might think, well, two people is not a whole lot. Originally we had talked about doing 10, and we thought, well, that's a lot, because here's the thing. At Carnes, we have scale. For each two people or each person that chooses two, what happens? It multiplies, right? So if today, if every Christian that's a part of the Carnes Church of Christ wrote down two people, we would have 800 contacts from our body. That's a lot of people. And it may not be for you a lot of people, but for the church as a whole, this is a lot of people that we're striving to reach as a body. And I think I don't think all 800 will become Christians, but what if they did? How amazing would that be? Just by each of us focusing on two people this year to bring to Christ. There's a lot of power when all of us are working together at a large scale, even with just a couple people in our lives, to make a change in this world and this community. This morning, as we close out, I hope that you'll take this challenge seriously. Not even just this year, but throughout your life, that you will make a commitment to find people in your life, to choose two or three or four that you're going to work with to help them to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to have several reminders throughout this year to keep this fresh on your mind, maybe some different angles or things to think about and some support and things like that as we go through this process. I want you to take some time today and this week to prayerfully consider, who are your two going to be? To write that down and to make a commitment to reach them this year. We all need to be praying about this, not just for our own contacts, but also for all our brothers and sisters in Christ here today, or maybe are away today, but will be back soon, who are going to be participating in this as well, because they need your prayers as well. Maybe this morning, maybe you don't know who to pick two, because one of those people that needs to know and accept the gospel of Christ might be you. Maybe you don't have to because you yourself are not a Christian. And I would just encourage you, if you're not a Christian this morning, don't delay. Don't put off what is the most important decision in your life. To receive the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ by being submersed in the waters of baptism, by dying to your old self and rising to walk in a newness of life, so that you can begin to serve and help multiply disciples with us. Maybe this morning it's hard for you to think of two because you got a lot going on in your life. Maybe you're facing some challenges, some health issues, some other things that make it difficult for you to serve in the way that you want to. They're distracting, they're stressful. And if that's your situation, we would be happy to pray for you this morning, to help you, to support you and encourage you so that you can be the best follower of Christ that you can be in whatever situation you may be facing in this life. Let us pray for you. Let us extend prayers of forgiveness. And let us help you walk in the light as we all try to walk in the light together. This morning, if you have any needs to confess sin, to ask for the prayers of the church, or to put Christ on in baptism for the first time, please come forward as we stand and sing together.